Hello and welcome to MLW Confusion. I'm your host, Rob Cameron, bringing you all that you may or may not need to know about Major League Wrestling and its television programming. Today, we are going to go south of the border and check out the debut episode of MLW Lucha, the partnership between the Crash promotion and MLW, filmed in Tijuana, Mexico, a handful of months ago. And this is our first official look at the footage. We've gotten a teaser earlier in the week of the cold open for the show. But before we get in that, of course, we got, couple of little bits of news stories. So let's go over those first, shall we? All right. First of which, another big debut coming at Blood and Thunder, January 21st in Dallas, Texas. Just announced, Mini Abismo Negro will be making his debut for MLW. He is the miniature version of Lucha Libre legend Abismo Negro, and obviously the mini form has done quite well for himself and in his own right. So in addition to bringing in the top luchadores in Mexico, MLW is also bringing in the minis division as well. Whereas in America, you know, the little folks tend to be a bit more into the comedy matches, the minis division in Mexico are actually a pretty big deal and produce some pretty amazing talent, actually. One of which, just for historical purposes, El Torito in the WWE, like, dude was arguably like the best high flyer in the world before the WWE signed him. And then they just, well, you know, made him a mascot. But, you know, this is not a podcast to complain about how WWE uses people. We focus on the ML dubs, so let's continue focusing on the ML dubs. Also signed for MLW Blood and Thunder, former Contra stablemates Jacob Fatu will be taking on Mads Kruger. We have not seen much of either of these competitors since the dissolution of Contra back at at War Chamber, when Kruger decided that he was the leader of the Contra unit, and then melted down against Fatu after the end of the match, after those two have kind of bickered during the match at times. But we're going to have our blow-off pretty soon, so no long drawn-out feud in this part, in theory. I mean, I could be wrong, but we will find out January 21st, of course, in Dallas, Texas. Go Gillies, go Gillies. Get some Contra. So honestly, at a certain level, like, I could be like, oh, we shouldn't blow this off so quick, but really, let's face it, it's a Hoss fight. I loves me some Hoss fights, and really, like, I have to speak positively about Mads Kruger because he's stalking me on the social medias, as should you, by the way, so, you know, check out the Twitter boxes at the end of the show. Anywho, more Blood and Thunder announcements. We are finally going to get National Openweight Champion Alex Kane, the Suplex Assassin, Beaumier Fight Club, will be taking on his hated rival Calvin Tankman for the National Openweight Championship at Blood and Thunder. These two have been simmering quite some time, and not even simmering, I mean, really, let's be frank, it's boiled over. Kane has had Tankman arrested in the past, so, like, it's time for Tankman to get his hands on Alex Kane after, you know, his little sucker elbow on Mr. Thomas, which I still find hilarious. But more on that later on in the show. So there's our news. It's all Blood and Thunder. Everything's coming up roses. Everything's coming up Milhouse. You know, that's what happens when you mix your blood and thunder. So, speaking of blood and bringing the thunder, it is our debut of MLW Azteca, the lucha-based programming, the precursor to what is everyone hopes to be Lucha Underground 2.0 coming up here in a bit. But in the meanwhile, this is officially speaking a partnership with the Crash promotion out of Mexico. And the set of tapings is based out of Tijuana, though commentary is being done by MLW's Rich Bocchini and Joe Dombrowski. So go team, we got the home team at least calling the shots here for these sets of tapings. So, we start off our show with Cesar Duran out on the stage. Tonight, he is bringing the best of Lucha for his Renegades. Lucha, 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 Lucha. And we get our Azteca open. And we have, again, our announced team, Joe Dombrowski, Rich Puccini, welcoming us to the show. We go over the card for tonight. We are going to get a main event. Cesar Duran booked Alexander Hammerstone, your MLW World Heavyweight Champion, teaming with Pagano, taking on King Muertes and Black Taurus in a tag team Apocalypto match. What is a tag team Apocalypto? I mean, there's a handful of, you know, no rules matches we could think of, but it's not the, you know, the Hardy compound variation, and it's not the jungle fight we saw King Muertes in earlier in the year, taking on Savio Vega. In addition to that, we have the Dynasty's Richard Holiday taking on the Crash Promotions Psycho Clown. For those of you who do not pay attention to Lucha Libre, in Lucha Libre, there are a lot of clowns. There's a whole stable of clowns. There's a monster clown. There's a psycho clown. There's Doink the Clown. There's Ian Rotten. Yeah, Mexico just loves their clowns. Well, you know, I can't say much else to it. Let's just jump right into it. Hey, look, it's Mysticis Jr. Just coming down the ramp. Here's where things get very chaotic, and I will apologize for this in advance. So our first match is a trios match, a six-man tag in America, where only tags or traditional tags, or just rolling out to the arena floor, if you're not aware, can bring in one of your partners. This also gets extra chaotic because nobody gets an introduction outside of, like, Mysticis Jr., and really, his was just showed up briefly before they kind of, like, moved on. So it's Team Mysticis taking on Team Ares, though, like, he's not really the leader of the team, but it's an introduction. So, I mean, there was just a bunch of guys and then just a bunch of bodies flowing everywhere. And so I tried to pick up names and associate them with masks as commentary brought it up, which they didn't throughout most of the match, too. I'm going to make a complaint about that. It's like commentary had no idea who anyone was outside of Mysticis, Ares, and Aramis, the latter two being members of the MLW roster, and then Mysticis Jr. Being like a variation of the original Sin Cara. When he came back to Mexico, he became Mysticis, and now there's a Mysticis Jr. running about. But that mask is fairly iconic in Mexico now. But the match overall is just the best kind of dumpster fire. Commentary aside, so not having any idea what's going on, this is like almost watching mid-90s WCW pay-per-views again, where they would just like randomly throw out the luchadores in a six-man trios match and just let him go, and like, yeah, you got the bare essentials, but it's just people running around, flying around, and it was pretty much that. What I did manage to get out of the dealio is that it was Mysticis Jr., Black Destiny, and Aramis, and then the heels, the rudos, are Ares, Demonico, and Xcal. If those names are incorrect, feel free to blame me, because again, I didn't do my due diligence, but like commentary didn't help out either, and production didn't help out either. Again, the only person who got a name tag was Mysticis Jr. We start off hot and heavy. Like, everyone's just getting their stuff in. We're flopping, we're flying, we're rolling around on the ground. Tags are only counting when we roll outside the ring, as per lucha tradition. One of the dudes just gets derped with a chair. He's going for a suicide dive, and just chair, derp, Mr. Derp, guy's down. Aramis flips out of a top rope German suplex. Xcal hits a 630 on Aramis. Stereo 450s for a two count by the Technicos. I mean, it's just hot and heavy action, just flipping all about. Aramis, though, finally picks up the victory for his team with his spinning rack bomb that I can never remember what the official title of the rack bomb is, so it's just a spinning torture rack bomb until I memorize it. Again, like, it was just pure chaos in the best sense. I mean, it was hot and heavy. Again, it really does remind me, well, of the 1990s WCW pay-per-views. I mean, granted, like, they basically just, you know, imported luchadores and told them to go have a lucha match. But just the fact is that, like, there's no context. It's just, here's a bunch of luchadores and watch them flip. It was entertaining for what it was. Big picture, I don't know if it'll mean much of anything outside of another tally in the Aramis Ares feud, which commentary did note a couple of times throughout the match in and of itself. Up next, we get a recap of the Alex Kane Calvin Tank time when Kane was part of America Top Team with King Mo. With King Mo out of the picture, Kane is allowed to flourish on his own, forming the Beaumaye Fight Club with a Mr. Thomas. And again, they've continued focusing on Calvin Tankman, so much so that they've had Tankman arrested after Tankman hilariously elbowed Mr. Thomas as he was getting out of a car prior to a press conference. This segues into Alex Kane with Mr. Thomas with Alicia Toot for an interview segment. Kane is not afraid of anybody, not even his mother. He points out that Tankman is not here. You know, he's been arrested. He can't come to Mexico. He'll get his time. It's not now, though. We did get an announcement. It's going to be at the end of the month when we get Alex Kane versus Calvin Tankman. But in the meanwhile, next week, it is announced that we will get, for the National Openweight Championship, Alex Kane taking on Aerostar. So that should be a fun clash of styles. Coming up next week, so pretty darn soon, Alex Kane's first official defense of the National Openweight Championship. In a hidden office, we have Cesar Duran and Carly Perez. They're canoodling backstage when Carly reminds Cesar of the Scorpion and the Frog, and of course they're both scorpions, right? That's how this works. Anyway, for those of you not familiar with that, the Frog helps out the Scorpion cross the river, and before they could, like, finish the task of crossing the river, Scorpion just stings the Frog, because F you, Frog, now we're both dead. So, I'm not sure what this has to do with anything. I suppose we'll find out in the future when everybody gets stung by a scorpion and all that sort of good stuff. But until then, you know, King Mortes gets summoned in the meanwhile. They're wanting a sacrifice, and Mortes to go get it. They're sacrificing Alexander Hammerstone. Unfortunately, Perez will not be there tonight. She has business to attend to, but they are going to summon Black Taurus. Leading up next is highlights of the Alexander Hammerstone Cesar Duran feud. It basically started in the aftermath of the War Chamber event, where basically out of like an alliance of convenience, Cesar Duran and Hammerstone got together, but Hammerstone wasn't terribly interested in the partnership that much, and he definitely doesn't trust Duran, and kind of rebuffed Duran's advances after that. And so Duran, being on the power trip that he is kind of trying to take Hammer down a notch, leading to tonight, where we get to see Pagano and Alexander Hammerstone taking on King Mortes and Black Taurus. All right, before we get on to our next match, let's take a pause for the cause. Some poorly recorded ads helps me keep me in the lifestyle I'm accustomed to living to. My jacuzzi full of pizza rolls, of course. Stay tuned. I'll be back in a moment. Now, whether you're someone who works out, or, like me, needs to maintain focus and mental clarity, we could all use a pick-me-up. That's where Raise Energy steps in. With Refresh technology, Raise provides a hydrating, sugar-free boost of energy without the crash some other energy drinks have. You can find out where you can get Raise Energy near you by visiting www.repsports.com. And while you're there, check out the other products that Rep offers, such as pre- and post-workout supplements and snacks. And if you want some extra savings, order online and apply my discount code CASS, that's CASS, at checkout for 15% off your order. All right, we are back. We have Richard Holiday with Alicia Toot. WTF, matey, what is up with that? Taking on Psycho Clown with the Dinks. Alicia Toot is only going to do commentary. She's not full on managing him. And this is kind of a reoccurring thing throughout commentary is like, hey, like, why'd you come out with Rich Holiday? I thought you two hated each other. Hey, like, why are you wincing when Richard Holiday gets hurt? You know, are you guys secretly in love? Don't gag at this thought. Come on, Alicia, work with us. And then on the other side of the ring, we have the Dinks, who don't appear until after the match is over. For those of you who don't get that reference, Doink the Clown used to have some midget buddies. One of them was Dink, but we also had, like, Pink, and I assume there's Stink, too, maybe. Maybe that's one of Jerry Lawler's little kings, wee kings. But anyway, I digress. Never mind that. We has match. Things starts off with lots of shtick, a lot of playing up to the crowd, trying to get them involved. The crowd, I don't know if it's muted, but the crowd didn't really seem to care too terribly much either about Psycho Clown, like, once the match started, or Richard Holiday. That being said, Psycho Clown is pretty over, at least during his entrance, and then after that, the crowd just got quiet. The Clown takes offense first, ends up sending Holiday outside the ring and hits a suicide dive. Holiday cuts him off after a second attempt at the Tope Suicida. Holiday takes control, goes inside the ring, hits a couple of big elbows before a pin attempt. The referee is slow. Commentary might note that the referee could be biased at the behest of Cesar Duran. As much as I believe in ref bias and that every referee is ultimately biased, this dude was counting slow in the last match too. So, I mean, if he's biased, which he is because he's wearing the stripes, it's biased against all wrestlers. So, yeah, what it is. But really slow pinfall counts on this thing. We come back from break. We have strike battle, which Psycho Clown ends up winning. Doesn't get to have it for long, though. He gets trapped outside the ropes, and Holiday counters with a rope-hung DDT. We get a La Magistral, a Magistral Cradle out of nowhere by Psycho Clown, but again, that doesn't lead anywhere either. Two count off that. Holiday hits a torture rack neck breaker, gets ready to go up to the top rope for some odd reason. This is not only is it rarefied air, this is rarefied territory for Richard Holiday. But before he can do anything, one of Cesar Duran's Lucha Goons comes out and ushers Alicia Toot away from the ring. This distraction allows Psycho Clown to hit a solo Spanish fly. 1, 2, 3. Match is over. Your winner, Psycho Clown with the Dinks. Following this match, we get a promo from 5150. Danny Limelight Rivera is doing most of the talking. He's running down the Von Erichs. For those of you who've missed out in the past, the Von Erichs are challenging 5150 for the tag team titles January 21st in Dallas. This will be the first time a Von Erich has challenged for the World Heavyweight Championship, or a type of World Heavyweight Championship, in 40 years. So it will be 5150 taking on the Von Erichs in Dallas. But, you know, the Von Erichs aren't going to win if 5150 has anything to say about it, because it's going to be blah, 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 stolen cowboy boots, selling them, going to the clubs, sexual innuendo galore. Anywho, moving on. Backstage, Cesar Duran is talking with a mystery person, and by mystery I mean, like, we just legit don't know who he is. He's just some dude with a beard. So Cesar Duran's talking to Beardo when Richard Holiday interrupts. Like, what's going on with Alicia? Like, what is going on? And Cesar's like, oh yeah, Psycho Clown, he's a psycho. Like, we ushered her away so she'd be safe, because we don't want her around that psycho. And of course Holiday isn't buying it. But Cesar introduces Holiday to his new friend, the detective. I forget his name. Beardo is a police detective. And evidently, Richard Holiday is wanted for questioning regarding an incident at a club that Holiday, well, probably wasn't at? Question mark? Anyway, gets led away. Holiday almost threatens to sic his father slash lawyer on him before changing his mind and decides that he's going to come after Cesar Duran himself. So, Richard Holiday, finally growing a spine, not dealing through lawyers anymore. We get a promo from Bestia666, and by promo, I mean promo video. He's returning to the promotion. He's done a handful of matches for MLW in the past. He's making his way back here soon. Following this, Kevin Von Erich is coaching his sons in the dark. There's like a giant spotlight, so like Kevin's like glowing in the dark practically. The boys come down, and basically he's just really stressing that they need to overwhelm 5150 early and just keep on overwhelming them. That's their key to success. Overwhelming. Overwhelming indeed. Speaking of overwhelming, it is now time for our main event of the evening. In an Apocalypto match, it is King Muertes and Taurus taking on Pagano and your boy, MLW World Heavyweight Champion Alexander Hammerstone. Still don't get what an Apocalypto match is, but it appears to be a no DQ tornado tag match. Spoiler alert. And by spoiler, I mean, if you waited 5 seconds for the match to begin, when everyone starts clubbering on each other and the referee doesn't do anything about it, you find out that there seems to be no tags and no DQs. Anywho, we has clubbering. Clubbering, 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 Tony. Hammer and Muertes get thrown out of the ring. We kind of see a start, like, going on, like, seeing what's going on in the ring, but find out, like, what's going on outside the ring is actually more interesting. Muertes has a chair and a cheese grater. Inside the ring, Black Taurus hits a chop block on Pagano for two. Hammer and Muertes come in with weapons and kind of clear the ring so they get their stuff going in inside the ring. Pagano is brought in. Like, I guess they're waiting for a tag, and Muertes is just like, tag, you're it, and just tosses him inside the ring. So Taurus comes in too, because, you know, three's company, four's a crowd. Let's just has a big fight. This fight spreads outside the ring, and we get a spear into the crowd. Now everybody's in the crowd. We had guardrails down, so there's nothing officially protecting us from our four competitors, are four beef castles. Muertes ends up suplexing Pagano up on the stage. Finally back in the ring. Everyone gets back in the ring. The Rudos have weapons, and it's just clubbering with the weapons for several minutes. We go to commercial, come back, and there's a floorboard being set up by Taurus outside the ring. Hammer gets DDT'd on a chair. No pinfall attempt there. Finally, Muertes and Pagano square off. They clubber each other for a bit. Muertes wins. Muertes breaks out a head scissors for no good reason. Hits a spear. Gets a two count off of that. Gets interrupted by your boy Hammer. Hammer makes his comeback with a burning hammer and a trash can for two. Black Taurus gets back body dropped onto the board that's set up in the ring. We get a moment of teamwork between Hammer and Pagano, where Hammer does a power bomb and Pagano hits a top rope clothesline. Unfortunately, there's malfunction at the junction, double knock and knocker by King Muertes on the Technicos, and a lung blower for two on Alexander Hammerstone. Outside the ring, Pagano and Taurus are brawling, and we get a DVD through the board by Pagano. Taurus just tasting the board once again. Meanwhile, inside the ring, we get a nightmare pendulum. 1, 2, 3. Your winner, your boy, the MLW World Heavyweight Champion, Alexander Hammerstone and Pagano. As we're celebrating, Cesar Duran comes out and just stares down the ring. Hammer sees this, starts jawjacking at him. Cesar makes the throat yo, key sheet to Hammer's head. We have a 3-on-1 beatdown. That dirty, dirty clown. You can't trust a clown, ladies and gentlemen. Pagano being in on the end. Cesar Duran, he is now Seth Rollins, turning on his boy Hammer. After Hammer gets sufficiently beat down, a group of lucha goons come and carry Hammer away as our show fades to black. Man, who would have known Seth Rollins was Pagano, or Pagano was Seth Rollins, your drip clown. Man, oh man. Oh. So, this was our debut episode of MLW Lucha. My cliff notes and thoughts are as follows. Opening match, if you love Lucha, that's where it's at. Like, it was a good Lucha thing. Thing I would have, like, wished I would have had, as someone who's not a regular consumer of Lucha. Like, I mean, I know its history. I can recognize a bunch of folks from it, but most of them have become famous stateside. Like, I really either needed entrances or at least cards for people, because relying on commentary to know who someone is when commentary isn't talking about them necessarily, like talking about them specifically, dropping names, like it makes things difficult. I mean, yeah, everyone stood out because everyone had a, you know, brightly different colored outfit, but like, I don't know who the guy who looked like he's 2002. Like, I knew who an Ares was. I only knew Mist Disease because I'm aware of what a Sin Cara was and Mystico. But if it wasn't for that, like, well, okay, we got a title card for him, so I guess that doesn't quite count. But, like, still, like, didn't really know who anybody was. Psycho Clown Richard Holiday match never really got out of first gear. Like, everyone seemed sluggish, and so outside of like the story progression, not sure what was going on with that. Just not a great match by the two of them. But the main event, though, main event was worth the price of admission. I mean, granted, like, I'm a sucker for, you know, just hoss fights and wild brawls, and that's what this match ultimately was. Even with the surprise at the end with Pagano turning on Hammer, which, I mean, who would do that? But I digress. Like, that was a really fun match. I did also enjoy that well. So so both tag matches were a lot of fun. Outside of the story progression, like, we probably could have skipped the Psycho Clown Holiday match. That wasn't like a best putting your best foot forward for a first show. But otherwise, the other two matches, you know, were quite enjoyable. So that was fun. I'm curious to see what we're going on here with our Lucha Underground Light, Lucha Underground 2.0, whatever we kind of want to snarkily call this. But, you know, I'm gonna be here next week watching it all either way. So, you know, and if you don't want to, which you totally should want to, though, you know, come back and listen and I'll give you everything that you may or may not need to know. So until that point, thank you all for listening. Stay tuned for the plugs and how you can help the show out, following on the social medias and whatnot. And I'll see you all next week. Thank you for listening to MLW Confusion. MLW Confusion is written and narrated by Rob Kammer, but is not affiliated with Major League Wrestling. The opening theme is written and performed by Rob Kammer, and what you are listening to right now is Ruined My Day by Alan L. Schroeder. If you enjoyed the show, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. Also, be sure to tell your friends, family, and enemies about the show. Word of mouth is very important to us small businesses. You can also get up to date with the thoughts and ramblings at the social media at the links in the description. If you'd like to support monetarily and help out, and to upgrade our equipment too, by the way, you can in the following ways. First, our virtual tip jar is at www.ko-fi.com/casanova. That is CASSONOVA. Or, for more bang for your buck, join our Patreon at www.patreon.com/casanova. For as little as $1 a month, you can get access to MLW Confusion early and ad-free, plus get weekly exclusive goodies. So be like the OGs, Maverick45 and Alan Schroeder, and check that out! Also, for your energy, sleep, and workout needs, check out repsports.com and use the coupon code CASS at checkout to get 15% off your order.